he is a game-changing talent. This is not the first crucial equaliser he scored this season. He got another at Sheffield United earlier on, but this is definitely his biggest moment of the campaign. Hello and welcome back to the Villa Villa podcast. Once again, I'm your solo host, Dan Wiseman, here today to talk you through Aston Villa's 1-1 draw at the London Stadium with West Ham United. My very capable co-host and good friend, Dan Morgan, is still off travelling Iceland. So once again, you're left in the not-so-capable hands of myself to run you through what was a pretty tough game for the Villa. And I think we kind of knew that it was going to be. And I think with that in mind, a point is something that I think if you'd at all offered to us at 2 p.m. on Sunday, on Saturday, maybe we would have taken it. On Saturday, I think we were kind of, well, basically in the aftermath of the Ajax game, really, we started to get an idea of just what a tough test this could be. Obviously, a lot of the pre-match conversation, particularly going into the day before the game, was about Ollie Watkins' fitness and whether the knock that he picked up against Ajax on Thursday night would keep him out of this game. And it didn't. And what that meant is that John Duran, who a lot of us thought was in the frame, particularly after his goal against Ajax, was going to be in the frame to replace Watkins, felt like he was maybe going to be out of the team. But what Emery actually did, probably for the first time since Emery became Aston Villa manager at the back end of 2022, we started with two archetypal strikers up front. It was 30 months after we signed John Duran, he makes his first start as an Aston Villa player. We also saw further starts for Morgan Rodgers, and he's certainly had to play more minutes since he signed than perhaps he was anticipating. But what it meant kind of going with Watkins and Duran up front is that those kind of floating number 10s, it was absent, really. We didn't really have the players get close to them that I think perhaps we would have in previous games. We saw that, I think at the first half, no players had made fewer touches on the pitch than Duran or Watkins. Duran made 12 and Watkins made 15 in the first half. We were losing the ball quite a lot. We couldn't really connect the midfield and attack. And it's particularly interesting, those statistics, those 12 and 15 touches respectively for either striker, considering we had 65% of the ball in the first half. But we were showing real teething problems. I think you could tell the Villa hadn't really set up with this kind of system, particularly in an ideal world. We wouldn't really have to. Again, obviously, Morgan Rodgers out on the left, Leon Bailey on the right, and Luiz and Tielemans in the middle. I think it became apparent pretty early on that perhaps this wasn't going to work as we'd like. We were not really, I say, connecting those dots, and certainly felt that Villa were really struggling to get going in the first half. Changes were definitely needed. And then at halftime, you see Duran get pulled for Moussa Diaby. And it's a shame, really, for John Duran, because I think he is a player that needs to feel loved, that needs to feel valued. And I think despite his lack of experience in the game, I think he certainly thrives as the main man. I do think there definitely is that element to not just his style of play, but also his personality, where he is very all action. I think he enjoys the stage of playing in European competition, of playing in the Premier League. I think you can tell by his personality that I think he's definitely got the ability mentally to shoulder that load, but he is very kind of hot and cold. And I think ultimately this game was summarized by players who have been kind of hot and cold throughout their time at Villa, and we'll come on to the man that got the equalizer shortly in a bit. But we know that we relied heavily on VAR in this game. And yet again, it's a game that showcased that Villa struggle with defending balls into the box and from defending set pieces. West Ham's first goal is a ball that kind of comes into the box, and there's just a real willingness on Mikel Antonio's part to be the one that wins the header. The ball is played kind of through the midfield. Suchek gets it out wide to Koufal, who kind of puts this ball in about, it kind of goes over Pau Torres, it comes in about waist height, and Mikel Antonio is the one to meet it with a diving header. And It's not great defending by Villa, but what I think it showcases, there's just more willingness on Antonio's part to be the man that meets that header and gets it into the back of the net. And Villa go one down. There's obviously further kind of VAR controversy just minutes later. It's a set piece that comes into the near post. This is the goal that I have more issues with. The ball comes into the near post. There's a kind of line of West Ham players that are closer to the goal than all of the Villa defenders. Emi Martinez, as a result, can seemingly see this situation, comes to the near post to meet it. It's not a great attempt to win the ball, to be honest with you, and it's headed into the back of the net. Thankfully, VAR intervenes, and that one's chalked off. And we went into the halftime just the one goal down, and then we had to make tactical changes, and Emery did. And for what it's worth, I think we have been slightly critical of Unai Emery kind of over the past couple of weeks. I think we can all agree that the selection choices in the Ajax game weren't particularly great, and we had to kind of make changes throughout the game to try and rescue that situation. And in the end, came up with the draw. We then went to the five at the back against Spurs, which definitely didn't work. We got torn apart in that game. And look, I think we have to give the manager some dues in that obviously we have a way for thin squad at the moment. We're really impacted by injuries, suspensions. And so it's kind of a makeshift squad, and we've already talked about the impacts that that had on this game and the two strikers that we had to play as a result. But Unai, for what it's worth, I think we can all agree, for better or for worse, hasn't got the changes right when we've had to make them. But in this game, I think he did very well. He did very well. Morgan Rodgers, who I thought, again, this game kind of summed up his kind of tenure as a Villa player, in that he's definitely very willing. He attempted more dribbles than any other player on the pitch in this game. You can see that he's trying to get into those creative positions, but ultimately he's coming in for players who are crucial to this Villa team, and that, you know, John McGinn's not available at the moment, Jacob Ramsey's not available at the moment. And so he's got a lot of enthusiasm, sometimes too much. His ability to pick up a yellow card is something that's meant he's been pulled off in both of the starts that he's made against Luton Town and Ajax prior to this one. And so you can see his willingness to keep going into those positions. There were sometimes moments where he was kind of leaving the ball behind him on a dribble, but he definitely was causing problems for Kufal and Suchek. And I think you saw that those two were getting a little bit verbal with each other about who was going to pick him up when he comes inside, who's doing a good job of dragging players out of position. And so I think as time goes on, you can definitely see the vision with Morgan Rodgers. And I think if you look at the step that John Duran has taken this season compared to last, and you can see that just the amount of goals that he scored, you can sort of see the trajectory that we hope Morgan Rodgers is going on. But the endeavour is definitely there, and I think that's definitely a positive sign for Villa going forward. But the man that replaced him was Nicolò Zaniolo, and boy did he need this goal. Boy did he need this goal, because his loan spell to Villa from Galatasaray definitely hasn't gone to plan. It's not gone as he would wanted it to. Galatasaray, even as far as Luciano Spalletti, the Italy manager, has reportedly been on the phone to him in recent weeks, questioning why he's not involved more with Aston Villa and the need for him to be playing games if he's going to make Italy's squad for not just these coming internationals, but for the Euros in the summer. And as the season's gone on, I think the frustrations on the side of Villa fans has certainly grown. He's quite a languid player. He's not someone that's an absolute pressing force. And so when things aren't going well for Nicolò Zaniolo, heesn't exactly inspire. I think that's something that when you look at someone like Rodgers or Duran, who have both been a little bit patchy during their respective time at Villa Park, obviously you've got three players there in Duran, Zaniolo and Rodgers, who have all been at the club for different periods, but are kind of on that periphery of the first team. And I think at least with Duran and Rodgers, there's definitely a willingness there. There's a real work rate, and you can see that they want to come in and do well. And Zaniolo just isn't that kind of player. And we knew that. We knew that. We know that when he signed him. It's something that was noted at Roma and at Galatasaray. And with that loan from Galatasaray set to run out at the end of the season, he needs these big moments if he's going to warrant a permanent deal in the summer. I think there's definitely a space for a box-crashing number 10 in this Villa side. It's not something we really have. JJ is probably the closest that we've come to it, but his true position, whether that's as an 8 or as a 10, is kind of yet to be decided. John McGinn, I don't think, is an archetypal number 10. And so that traditional kind of playmaker that can sit in behind a striker, we know that given Unai's structure, that player that kind of sits just off Ollie Watkins and floats and is able to kind of connect the midfield and attack, there's definitely a space there in it. And it could well be Zaniolo. And so he kind of comes on in the 63rd minute, and he is a game-changing talent. This is not the first crucial equaliser he scored this season. He got another at Sheffield United earlier on. But this is definitely his biggest moment of the campaign. And just what this means for him, it's kind of hard to say. He could have got another one shortly after, but the pass that came through to him was just a little bit too far. And so his impact has been sparse. I don't think there's any denying that. He's someone that we could definitely do with taking games by the scruff of the neck a little bit more. I don't think anybody is in doubt that he's certainly got the ability to do this. A regular Italian international who's represented some huge clubs, won the Conference League, scored in the Conference League final, I believe. And so it'd be interesting to see what his role looks like going into Wolves and then in the European running as well. I think there's definitely scope for Zaniolo to get involved in those games as well. He's already off the mark in the Conference League, got that goal against Zrinjski Mostar in the group stages. And so let's see what happens with Nicolò Zaniolo. But we are going to need more players to step up in moments like this. We know that the squad is thin. We know that there's big games going up. We know in the road to Athens and in the push for the Champions League football, we're going to need more moments like this. We have such a tough run of games coming up, games that are almost certainly going to be in the balance. I think with the squad as depleted as it is, I'll be very surprised if we see Villa blowing sides away as we have been able to do when we're at full capacity. So when you look at our next few games with that Europa Conference League tie against Lille now in it, here's how Villa will finish off the season. Next Saturday, we have a 5:30 kickoff against Wolves for an away tie against Manchester City on the 3rd of April before bringing it back to Villa Park just three days later for a home game against Brentford. Three games there, which definitely won't be easy. Wolves is always a tough game for Villa, whether that be homes or away. Man City away speaks for itself. Brentford at home, again, another very combative physical side that could cause Villa more threat from set pieces. We've then got the home game against Lille, away against Arsenal, away then against Lille just 5 days later. We've then got Bournemouth at home, Chelsea at home, Brighton away, Liverpool at home, and Crystal Palace away. So it's a very tough run. And I think Opta said that Villa have the second hardest run in to the end of the season of any team in the Premier League. And that's when you consider that we're only in the quarterfinals of the Conference League. So, fortune willing, we'll have at least another two fixtures and potentially a final in that kind of space as well. So it's going to be a very jam-packed the running from here to the end of the season. And so these are the games that I think Zaniolo, Duran, Rodgers, you can really stake a claim. And you can, given how small and how limited the squad is at the moment, how quickly you can elevate yourself to becoming a crucial player just by having one or two good games is really evident at the moment. I think if you look at someone like Tim Eric Boonen, who was almost a forgotten man at the first half of the season, but Villa's injury and suspension crisis is such at the moment that he's become almost an integral part of the first team, at least the first team rotation. And so opportunities can be thrust upon you really, really quickly in this Villa team. And what I will say is that for guys like Moussa Diaby, who I've been full of praise for really in recent weeks, the way that he stepped up in big moments, that's what we need. That's what we need. And I think if Villa can continue to show that guys like this, even if it is just every now and again, are going to crop up with big moments that turn a defeat into a point and just keep us going. For all of Villa's woes at the moment, we are now five games unbeaten. And I think that's our longest run undefeated away from home since a run of seven games between 2008 and 2009. So we are still motoring, and that's about as all as you can ask for at the moment. This is a very good point against a side that typically we haven't done very well against in recent years. West Ham have lost just once to Villa in the 12 matches they've played against us since 2015-16. We're actually, of any team that they've played more than 10 times in that period, they haven't lost fewer games against any other side. So it's a side, a stadium that we've never really done too well at. And so all in all, to rescue this just 11 minutes from time is, we were fortunate to get out there. Obviously, they have another goal ruled up in stoppage time. But I'm almost inclined to say that doesn't matter. Villa just have to get through these games. I really don't think we can read too much into them, given that starting 11 that we've played, maybe there's five, maybe six players in there that you'd take out if you were cherry picking from a Villa 11 that was totally fit and healthy. So just getting through this with what is almost a second string lineup is very important. And with a point, we can take that into Wolves at home, and it's our home game where we really have to capitalize on that. So Dan and I will be back at full capacity later this week to preview that one for you in more detail. But guys, as always, thank you very much for listening to my solo ramblings. Let me know what you thought of the game in the comments down below. I always like engaging with you guys down there. So yeah, drop me a comment on too on what you thought of the game, what you think of Villa's upcoming running. Where do you think we will finish? It looks like the percentage chances show that the fifth spot in the Premier League will give a side Champions League football at the end of the season. Spurs' loss to Fulham was a big one for us, but they still have a game in hand, which I believe is Chelsea away. They remain just 3 points behind us. Man United got a big win, albeit in the FA Cup. They are currently on 47 points, 9 points behind us on 56. So it's going to be a very close run into the end of the season. Let me know how you see it going. But yeah, like, subscribe. Thank you very much for watching. Love the Villa.